5 minutes. You got to come back on tomorrow. This is so incredible. And we're doing late night coverage of the new year tomorrow, so please join us. You just broke mortar in the break. Autism findings. That's the new filing. Bait and switching with the courts. His car looks just like it. Matches up with the geolocation. This whole thing is completely exploded, as you predicted. Kyle Seraphin, recap it all.
All right, quick and dirty. The defense filed a motion showing that they have a diagnosis of autism, and they're making the claim that he's also of, this is Brian Culp Jr., the alleged pipe bomber subject, is also obsessive compulsive disorder diagnoses. So if you guys look, this is the most recent filing they had. They put that into the court this morning in anticipation of doing a preliminary hearing and showing that not only does the, do they not actually have the case to be able to bring in and prove him guilty, the defense doesn't even think that they have probable cause to hold this guy. And the DOJ basically pulled an end around a shenanigan Hail Mary where they took their indictment to the wrong grand jury, hoping that the district court would actually honor it. But the district court said that these are extenuating circumstances, so we're going to get like a delay on this, which is all sort of crazy. End of the day, the worst part of it is the Blaze just dropped this. The worst part for the government's case, they just dropped this video as part of a broader story showing that the pings are very inconclusive, which is something I've been telling you for quite a while. And they have video of a vehicle that matches Brian Cole's vehicle, which is still parked out in front of his house, by the way. The DOJ didn't seize it. And it's driving at the time that the pipe bomber was on foot. So very simply, between the hours of 7:34 p.m. and 8:18 p.m. on January 5th, 2021, the pipe bomber is on foot, walking around with the hood on. That's who the FBI and the DOJ allege Brian Culp Jr. is, that figure. But the problem is a car that matches Brian Culp's car is in motion in Washington, D.C., over a mile away and driving in a route that's at least 7 minutes away and could not be him. There's no way outside of teleportation or some sort of magical time warp that Brian Culp Jr. is both driving his car and walking around at that time. So at the very least, it shows that there would have to be another person involved. More likely than not, what it shows is they've got the wrong guy altogether, which is what I believe for quite a while now. In any case, we've got the DOJ indicating basically what looks like panic to me. I have no idea why. If you have the case and you've been working this for 5 years and you actually believe in a court of law that you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a citizen jury, not the grand jury, but the actual jury, sit there and be able to prove in a trial that you have the evidence that this person did the crime, then you're not scared of meeting a preliminary hearing with a defense attorney there, because probable cause is the lowest possible burden. But what we're seeing is the behavior on the of the DOJ going exactly the opposite. They're doing everything possible to avoid going in front of a judge and having the evidence that they have, you know, to show even probable cause. They don't even want to show that. And as you guys are seeing this video, I put it out on X. It's linked on my profile. So if people want to go out there and get a copy of it, or if you want to share it with your friends, I think this is truly damning. It shows a vehicle in motion. Again, it's the same vehicle that you could find on Google Earth right outside of Brian Culp Jr.'s house. It's the vehicle that is registered to him as a blue 2017 Nissan Sentra with factory wheels. This is what you're looking at. What we did is we flipped it around to orient it so you can see that it's very similar to the one that's driving. They have the same silhouette. They have the same chrome accent pieces on the door and so on. And he's driving northbound directly at cell phone tower number 3 at the time when theoretically
the DOJ is claiming he's somewhere else. You got to come back tomorrow during the main show or during the coverage. But going back to what you predicted 10 months ago on the show, you said they're going to set up these lightweights. They're going to set them up with all these investigations, and he's done it at every level. Patel just steps right into it. How long can this moron stay there?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, this was one of the big pieces. Again, this is the Dan Bongino sort of crown jewel. They claim that this was his, you know, last hurrah, and then he's going to step off and go back to the podcast as a victorious conquering hero. If this case falls apart, and I suspect that it will, and I think this is going to be a big piece of it.
I think it already has. You predicted it would. You said he's a patsy. You worked the case. I think it has fallen apart.
You're looking at... I think this is exactly what it does. It makes you leave in shame, and it destroys the reputation of the guys who basically went out there and did a big high five circle, you know, great congratulations moment. It's over.
All right, let me ask you a question during the break. I don't know if you want to get into this, but if you can, we'll come back briefly. Kyle Seraphin, be sure and follow him on X at Kyle Seraphin.
When the system plays games, from the gym to the grind to the war for your mind, this ain't luck. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, Kyle Serafin is very impressive. I mean, I don't give credit unless it's due. And the guests we have on routinely are the people that have the best track records. And I got to say, out of all the guests, and we have people that are dead on, it's crazy. Kyle, just finishing up with this briefly before we get the can of so and stuff that's so important. You have continued to nail all this. You literally looked at the geolocation pings, said it's off by a mile. Now we have the car. It's obviously that car, that color, that year. He's a DoorDash driver. They've set him up. We all predicted here, I bet he's mentally retarded or autistic. He is. That's now they have the diagnosis. They have the records. You see him pulled over by police, you know, completely autistic, poor thing. Still out there working hard. Conscientious, no criminal record. You know, family couldn't even believe it when they said this. And it all comes after we have information that it's a Capitol Police officer is the main suspect. Then magically this comes out. And then now they do all this bait and switching, trying to move the court hearings around, not wanting to show cause. I mean, this is a spectacular scandal. And again, I don't do this with pleasure. Some of my listeners are like, why are you undermining Trump? We're not the ones undermining it. This is a clown show, and you nailed it. I didn't know if you were right 10 months ago. You said, no, they're not even really nefarious. They're just want to be Hollywood people. They want to make money. They want to be famous. And whether it's Bondi, Patel, or Bongino, and that's all come out now, they literally have these advisors under them that are setting them up every time. Aren't they smart enough to know everything they step into? The Epstein, the Charlie Kirk killing, the Pennsylvania situation, every single time. It is like Wile E. Coyote with the Roadrunner dropping the anvil on their head. Aren't they smart enough to figure this out? And then have you ferreted out who the hell's giving them this advice you predict would happen?
I don't know who's giving them the advice. I mean, it's obviously mid-level people in the Hoover building that you're never going to hear their names. This is the advantage of being somebody that's kind of an anonymous bureaucrat. This is always the way the FBI's operated. You get that's why they don't tell the director everything. So the director has plausible deniability. And if they end up looking bad, it's like, well, I didn't know that. And who did? It's like some person you've never heard of. So the people that are going to be, that would theoretically be embarrassed by being wrong about this are never going to be public figures that you're ever going to recognize. Their life will continue on. They'll go get another job when they retire. They'll be fine. And these guys, Battelle, Bongino, they're going to have their reputations destroyed. Bondi will fall into the same sort of scenario. If you walk out there and you make claims like the Southern District of New York was hiding files from me about Epstein, what you're saying is my subordinates are not actually subordinate to me. It's the same problem that you have with this question of the FBI. If you say, well, we were briefed on the files and it turns out all that is wrong, that just means you don't know who to trust. And so that's, I think, the broader problem that I've been trying to highlight for people. This is not a personal animosity thing. This is a very simple discussion of, if you're not an investigator and if you are willing to take people's words that you have no reason to trust and you've literally been bad mouthing for 8+ years, and then you're going to go into a building and let them kiss your ass and then you're going to believe what they say, you deserve to be set up with something stupid, because that's what's going to happen to you. People are going to look at you and go, okay, you're a dummy. You're not an investigator. You're not going to go read the file yourself. You don't even know how to do that. So we're going to go out here. We're going to brief you whatever we want. We're going to give you a bad person, and it's going to fall apart when it's on cross-examination by anybody with even a little bit of scrutiny. And maybe you get lucky. Maybe they got lucky and they get a bad defense attorney. But instead, what they got is some guys that were former United States attorneys. You got people that were working out of the United States Attorney's Office in Nashville and Tennessee that are apparently absolute studs. I've had multiple recommendations, people that are politically a little bit more on the left, people on the right, people who worked with them as federal investigators that said, these guys are the real deal and they're going to shred this thing. And by the way, they're not going to take the case unless they think they can win. And now they're going in and they're going to destroy this thing. The only choice the DOJ had was to throw this Hail Mary and go to the lower court and a lower grand jury and try to get an indictment in Superior to try to move the ball away from
a magistrate. They didn't indict this guy before they arrested him. They just put him all in a bow, didn't even think about the next steps. Now you're going to have to show the proof. And the family's like going, this is insane. This guy's
That's
like
right.
A choir
That's exactly
boy.
What the family said.
And again, it's the old joke. The whole crew said, I bet he's autistic or retarded before he even knew he was a black guy or whatever. Because back to firebombing the Reichstag in February 27, 1933, how Hitler was elected, became dictator, firebombing, and it came out later, they found a mentally retarded homeless man, Marinus van der Lubbe, and had a trial and executed him. I mean, it's the oldest trick in the book.
It's a very old trick. That's exactly it. And the FBI continues to use that trick, by the way. They just got an announcement yesterday about a guy who was apparently supporting ISIS out of Midlothian, Texas. You and I know where that is. It's not an ISIS hotbed. The guy was a Mexican-American, last name Garza, and he started interacting online saying he wanted to go do some bombing and send money to support ISIS. And so, of course, the only person that was interested in taking his money is a freaking undercover cop who works for NYPD on the JTTF for the FBI. So all of these things end up being setups. But this one specifically is really damaging because it's one of the three big cases that Dan Bongino hung his hat on walking in. In his first interview, sitting with Kash Patel, they said they were going to solve these problems. They were going to find the coke at the White House. They didn't do that. They were going to find out who leaked the Dobbs decision. They didn't do that. They were going to solve the pipe bomber case, which was the most terroristic thing that happened. And it's the reason why some of the sentencing enhancements and some of the really bad outcomes happened for J6ers. And they hung it on a guy who's an autistic guy that had nothing to do with the government, despite years and years of these dudes saying, and these dudes being Patel and Bongino, saying it was an inside job, it involved members of government, and so on and so forth. And the first thing they do is they panic when an independent journalist organization comes up and says, by the way, we found someone that meets all the descriptions that you think. They're a member of the government, they got moved, they work for the CIA, they meet the gate analysis, they had proximity to it, they seem to have the right analysis.
Somebody at the FBI after, on January 6th thought to stick you at the house where they were at.
That's right. And exactly. 1 week after the fact. Now, here's the other crazy thing. In their last filing that DOJ put out there, they just put out a request to detain this guy. They mentioned that in the confession, it's the first time we've had a chance to look at what the confession of Brian Cole Jr. looked like. They talk about how he admitted all these things, that he admitted that he parked his car in a place where, you know, it looks like his car is actually driving at the time he should have been parked. Apparently, they said that he saw himself on the news walking around in the pipe bomber hoodie, deal. And then he threw away all the bombing material. They also say that he threw away the shoes. So the major things that the FBI was hanging their hat on, these Nike Speed Turf shoes that were real specific, he just got them worn out and threw them away. Apparently, he also was like scared, so he threw away all of his bomb-making material. But what they also say in the filing, which I think is crazy, is that 3 weeks after January 6th, after the successful delivery of these pipe bombs and nothing happens, apparently, he's back to buying bomb-making equipment because he bought more of the pipes, he bought more of the timers, he bought more of the wire and the alligator clips and so on. So he started buying all the stuff that he supposedly threw away in a dump, according to the confession, less than 3 weeks
totally
after
insane.
January 6th. It's completely insane.
Promise you'll come on tomorrow. Real fast, we got a lot to get into, and I appreciate your time, Kyle Serafin. You know I'm not a troublemaker. In fact, I've even counseled you, not like I'm your superior, but I've said when you kind of punch down a little bit, even though you think it's legitimate, like, we don't need that. I have a real thing about it. The Candace Owens I've had to do, and I've got all her people mad at me saying, why are you doing this? We're not going to support you. Well, fine. I had to go investigate the Egyptian planes, because if it was true, this is big. I had to go investigate with all these TPUSA people with 12 colonels in a skiff at Huachuca planning to kill them. And I know that's not how it works, but I went and looked it up, and it was total horse crap. They all got alibis. Then they flip and say, we don't want alibis. We didn't say you did it. Now you did do it. Now the congressman's on the floor at 11, which is 8 at that time. She's had to admit last night, no, the congressman's innocent. Oh, and then their star witness is like the most classic con man. They could make a Catch Me If You Can movie about this guy. I mean, it would take hours to go into what a horrible person. As soon as I saw him, my skin crawled. Then I searched his name with all these sob stories and scams and women kidnapped him and locked him in garages and broke all his bones and he falls off mountains and breaks his bones and then he's running a thing for veterans to take him to Cancun and it's for him. I mean, it's just stolen valor, all of it. I mean, you couldn't get a worse person. And then she's like, no, he's good. He's great. And then Erica Kirk the night before is at the Huachuca. And then Candace says to Mitch Snow, oh, this is her old boyfriend from Daily Wire. Did you see him? And he goes, I did see him too. So it's like made to order. It just, I mean, you could not make up. So Candace comes off as smart. I've known her for 10 years. She's done a lot of good work. She is looking a little more lunatic in the eyes, I have to say. But, I mean, the idea that you could sell thinking people on this and how she's roped in all these people into a soap opera, and then they go, you're covering up an FBI cover-up. I'm like, no, we exposed it. Cash Patel said, don't look at accomplices. I broke that out of the White House. That was confirmed later. I'm like, no, this thing about Fort Huachuca is insane.
I agree.
And now, full-on giant attack. And then she says, I never said they were planning anything there. And she goes, and I never said they were hid where he's buried. And we have all the clips of her saying they hid where he's buried. She is, what's crazy, Colin, I'll shut up, is that what's blowing me away is now this is giving me like a headache. Like I feel crazy even watching it. Her followers, even when you show a clip of her saying they hid his body, they hid where he's buried, appears I never said that to somebody else. Or her saying, yeah, they obviously, you know, killed him. They had to get rid of him, the king. I never said that. That's insane. It's like the worst lying ever. I don't want to lie. I get things a little wrong. My listeners crucify me. She is allowed, I guess she's a woman or whatever, to just flip-flopping. I mean, she's a hole-in-one when it comes to lying. So I'm going to shut up. You're a really smart guy. What the hell do you think is going on here? Because this is a fiasco.
I'll give you the same advice you gave me, which is that this is beneath you at this point, and I don't think it's worth trying to defend it. And unfortunately, you get roped into it because somebody puts your credibility on the line and you're out there. Here's how it works. InfoWars audience, you guys should know this. So somebody makes a claim, then they have to back it up. I come on here and say, I think Brian Cole Jr. is innocent. I think they got the wrong guy. I'm convinced he was a mile away. I bring you evidence. You evaluate it. You decide whether or not it's evidence of him driving a mile away. We can show you where those cars and where those cameras came from. That's how you do this. If you make a claim that a bunch of people were in a room doing it, then you better have some evidence other than some random guy said that happened. So that's the simple thing. The problem that I've seen with a lot of the Candace stuff, and people get really emotionally involved in the story, and even friends of mine have out there and they've gotten behind it. All my friends that are sensible, that don't have a dog in the fight. And that's the way it is. I got no dog in the fight. I don't care about TPUSA. I wasn't friends with Charlie Kirk. I didn't know him. I met him one time. He seemed like a really nice man. He didn't have the same values that I have. I don't have any vested interest one way or another. I'm happy to crucify the FBI if the FBI is wrong. The FBI is not running that case. The case is being, you know, dealt with at the local level. As far as I know, the FBI cover-up is all based on whether or not there's foreign influence and whether that's happening online. And that's what you've talked about. That's what I've talked about. When it comes to the Candace Owens claims, I've seen so many montages of people showing back to back of her saying things and then changing it. If someone keeps moving the goalpost and your job is to excuse this person, she's running an audience right now. And there's a very excited audience that loves to hear what she has to say because it's salacious. It's exciting. They feel like they're part of working a case. I've got friends that have told me we're working on the Charlie Kirk case. I posted an entire episode on my podcast. You are not an investigator. You do not have access to the information. You do not have the ability to go and run this case. And if you did, you would have like some sort of legal charter and you'd be working in law enforcement. So anybody who wants to go solve cases, I encourage you to sign up for your local law enforcement. Stay away from federal. They suck. I'm not a big fan of them as it stands. But it's wild to see somebody basically never be accountable for the things they've said previously. And if anybody, they can explain it away, but you can't. So you're not going to be able. This is like the tar baby for you, Alex.
It's a black hole. No, I agree. I'm going to cover it a little more.
It's the tar baby. The more you fight with the tar baby, the more you get tar on you. This is the Brer Rabbit story. You put the tar baby out there. It doesn't say anything. And the more you fight it, all they got to do is sit still. She can change her position all day long. Nobody seems to care. That's her business. If people want to be following down an exciting rabbit hole of learning this you know, paranoid delusion, which is what it looks like to me, or I can't really decide with Candace. She's either very disingenuous or she actually believes it. And either one of them, it doesn't really make a difference to me because I don't have to believe it.
Here's what they do. I say, I really have been forced to do this figure of speech. They go, oh, he's been forced. No, I mean, I have to because it's a lie. I explain why I'm forced. Or I say, I'm really worried about you. You need to be careful. This guy's a con man. Oh, that's a threat. Or I say, I called TPUSA. I had them send me documents and photos. And they go, oh, you're in the cover-up with them. No, I'm investigating. Right. You're saying these people are at a base planning his murder. What the hell do you expect me to do? I've been forced to go investigate it. And then when I investigate, I'm involved in a cover-up.
I call it the unfalsifiable premises of the internet neo-Gnostics, right? They have secret knowledge that you can't have access to. They're going to tell you about the secret knowledge, but they don't have to prove it to you. And if you debate it, it's unfalsifiable because whatever you say can be easily moved. So this is not an argument anybody can win. Listen, folks, if you want to believe that, if that makes you turn, you're not going to solve the murder. You're not going to change anything in the outcomes. You're not going to have access to all the evidence. We've even heard from the guy who's alleged to have done it, that the FBI's got under custody, that the information that they are dealing with is so voluminous that they couldn't even have like their hearings. It took them months to get to it. If you think you know more, without having access to the people who were there and the video footage. And if you're out there believing exploding things, and, you know, I don't know about the Egyptian planes or what the hell, all that stuff.
Yeah, but notice even Tyler Robinson came out 3 weeks ago in the trans flag, smiling, trying to cover up his smile, so proud of himself, looks like a total psychotic villain.
Right.
And you have his parents crying behind him, and you have all his friends saying, oh, yeah, Kirk will be dead tomorrow. We're not supposed to look at any of that. It's like, here it is, right here.
All you have to do is, the more people you get involved in a conspiracy, the more difficult it is to keep it under wraps. This is why the potential conspiracy of January 6th is so effective, because the argument is not that there are hundreds of people in the government that have made it happen. We've identified basically a handful of people. You've got somebody at FBI right now that's controlling information. His name is Marshall Yates. I'll just name him. There's a guy that's hanging out at Capitol Police. He's the one who found the bomb, and he also is now the liaison to the FBI. So there's a really tight little circle. You had the guy that was the ATF on-scene commander for the bomb squad. He moved into the position of Yogananda Pittman. You're talking about five or six people. The minute you start getting beyond like a tiny little table, like a coffee table size conspiracy, then things start leaking unless you're very, very compartmentalized. And if you think a compartmentalized operation that's being run by either a foreign intelligence cell or otherwise is being uncovered by Candace Owen, the podcaster, nothing against podcasters. I am one right now, right? That just means that you don't understand how these work.
Well, let's explain. I've read a lot of history books. I've had a lot of people, Delta Force, all of it, on that actually do government assassinations. And the point is, and we've seen the Frank Church Committee and all of it, you don't have 12 colonels in a skiff. You don't have some bum gets in it. They don't have
even that high ranking.
They don't have giant groups of people in on a killing. When real army assassins that are, say, killing Russian agents or something back during the Cold War, they would, even their bosses wouldn't even tell them in person. They would literally tell them, go to a drop site, and they would have a file on who to kill. So, I mean, the government doesn't, you know, I mean, it's beyond the mafia going, you know, let me take care of that problem. The idea that you go into this thing and there's this giant meeting with all these people and they're all on the stage killing Kirk, it's insane. That's not how conspiracies work.
Well, this is how you know that these are not how people are that are professionals kill people, because we don't have any other examples of it going back for at least the last 40 years. You got to go back into the 70s to see people with a rifle taking those shots. And what happened is the intelligence communities and the capabilities there, they've evolved. They've got more sophisticated tools. They've got better capabilities for patsies. They have more deniable, easy ways to do it. If they want to have a public killing, they'll do it really publicly and gross. And if they don't, then you'll never even know that it was a assassination. It'll just be a car accident that happened and some semi T-boned you and the guy fell asleep at the wheel. He doesn't know why or whatever. There are ways that things go and there are ways that things don't go. And what you don't get is some guy randomly running around on the rooftop, taking a shot with an old rifle and dropping some guy in front of a bunch of people and then having a whole bunch of other professionals involved in that. Because why on earth would you let that guy live? The Occam's razor part needs to come in at some point in time where people sensibly argue, does it even plausibly make sense to have this many people involved? And to what end? I always want to know when people hit me up, and I know you get the same thing, because every time I'm on InfoWars, people email me and they tell me their crazy story. And I want to know, why you? What's the purpose? What's the end result of whatever it is that you think's going on? And, you know, you have to make some pretty sophisticated arguments.
Well,
you got to make a lot of logical leaps.
I'm all for investigating. I have questions. But you don't get a famous con artist with an insane story that keeps changing and do that. Thank you so much. You got any questions for Carl Servin?
No, I just want to reiterate exactly what Kyle Serafin said, because he nailed it in two parts. One is that nothing Candace Owens has ever presented, and I've watched a lot of Candace Owens. I do a 3-hour show. I have to news gather every single day. I would love for her to present something that I can turn around and show to the audience and go, look, a bombshell. So I've watched hours of her content. None of it is falsifiable. As you said, it's all unfalsifiable. It's all rumor. It's all innuendo. There's nothing to sink your teeth into. There's nothing to disprove or prove. It's just nothing. So,
and it hinges on a known con man.
And that's the other thing, is that the accusation, and she can dance around and she can say, oh, I never said that. Everybody gets the accusation was there was this big planning meeting the day before and Erica Kirk was there. You are accusing Erica Kirk of having pre-knowledge, of having foreknowledge of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That is a very big claim, and it requires very...
And then she jumps back and goes, no one's saying that. Her surrogates are saying they killed him. She says that she thinks they killed the king to replace him, and then she says she didn't.
Well, and the only evidence she has for any of this is the eyewitness testimony of this guy who is clearly a lifelong con man and not to be trusted. And she's like, well, why are they digging into his past? Because the only evidence you've offered is his eyewitness testimony.
Oh, I know. When we investigate and find nothing but lies, we're involved in the cover-up.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, right? Because, and again, as Kyle Seraphim says, it's the same question I always ask. People are like, you sold out. And it's like, to whom and for what? What do you even think is going on? It's like, I don't even
know. Well, number one, you're not a big fan of Israel. You'd be more than happy to blame them.
Well, you know,
if there was evidence,
I was the first person in the world to say it was Israel because I'd had that information.
Well, you said it before.
Yeah, before he was murdered.
In fact, that was the most viral thing for like a week.
For a really long time.
That's because you work for Netanyahu.
And I explained 2 days after I explained the reasoning why I thought it could have been Israel. Ever since then, I have to admit, there's not been a lot of evidence. This has not unfolded in a way that this being an international conspiracy. It's just how it's been. And I got to go.
Sorry, Kyle, go ahead.
Boys, this is the tar baby. It's a tar baby. The more you punch it, the more dirty you get, the more sticky it gets, the more you can't extricate yourself from
this in the next few days.
there's no way you win, unfortunately, because people are going to believe what they want to believe. And if they think that Alex Jones and if it took 31 years for you to sell out, Alex, and now you're finally there, and like that's what it is. For people that are like, I've watched you for 20 years, you're that way. It's a funny thing to say. You don't actually know Alex Jones. You haven't actually met Alex Jones. If you meet him, then nobody thinks that. Nobody who knows you personally would think that's the case. Does it mean that you get everything right? No, but it's just a silly thing for people to claim. Nobody who's ever met me thinks I care about Israel or what. I couldn't care less what happens to either one. I did a conversation with a guy who was Jewish the other day. I said, if I found out tomorrow that Israel nuked Iran, and they were gone. They were wiped off the map. I'd be like, oh, and I would eat Cheerios. And if I found out that Iran nuked Israel and there was no more Israel, I would probably have bacon in the morning and I wouldn't think twice about it. None of that would affect me in any way. So these people that make these claims, they don't know us personally. They have this like, they've invested themselves in a relationship with Candace Owens at this point. And they've gone down this fun, exciting journey of this fake investigation, which is what it is. You can ask questions all you want. Do it all you want. But if you are not able to withstand any scrutiny and the proof always has to go on the person asking the questions, you made an allegation. You must substantiate allegations with fact. This is the same problem that DOJ is facing right now. You made an allegation that somebody's a pipe bomber. You don't have the facts to back it up and you're not willing to do it in an adversarial way with a court. You are the liar. And I think that's what people should understand. If you can't bring all of, they call it receipts, but let's call it what it is. It's evidence. You need to have evidence that other people can critically evaluate and go, got it. I see why you came to that conclusion. I come to the same conclusion.
Oh, so many of them, I've probably seen this 1,000 times. They go, why are you doing this? Why are you investigating Candace? Why don't you leave this alone? And I'm like, she said there's a meeting with all these people to kill him. If it's true, I investigate it's not true. You expect me to not investigate? And then I come back and say, this isn't true. This is crazy. This guy's a crazy man. And then I'm the bad guy. And they just come back and say, why don't you want to investigate? I do want to investigate. I do think he had help. Now it's 10 people saying he'll be dead tomorrow in the town in 10 seconds. Why aren't they being hauled before the court?
They might be. I think they will be. I just think we haven't gone to trial with this case, and it's going to be public when it does. So people will hear it, or the FBI is not going to allow people to step on their turf. This is also a turf war on the federal law enforcement side, which is the bigger story that you and I have been talking about. And that should be the thing people get upset about. It's not as sexy as Egyptian planes or secret meetings, but it turns out bureaucratic people trying to keep their turf is actually one of the real dangers that we face
in
America.
Absolutely, Kyle. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. We're going to come back into your talk with Candace last night. Thank you, Kyle. Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the ultramethylene blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like the more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on the screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some lost leaders sometimes because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the methylene blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one 5-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric's food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Rock, is this the best creatine? Say, absolutely. Hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated, plus we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Why the selection of Patriot apparel? What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at TheAlexJonesStore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high-quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay, this cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red, and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak, and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready. Armed with truth when the machines bring war. Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right. I want you to have the floor. You did a great job last night calling in on Candace's spaces / multi-stream thing. And, I mean, literally, it's a war on logic, and I'll be honest. I kind of wish I had investigated what she was saying, because I thought it might be true. I didn't think she was bad. And then I came out and said, hey, this isn't true. I'm your friend. You're being set up. And they all went after me. And then it got worse and worse what we found out about it, and the story changes so much. I feel like I've lost a friend. I mean, I feel like I've lost a cousin or something here. And I've been mean about it because it really upsets me. I get emotional about this because the murder of logic. And then all the nasty constellation of what I call her ring race, who are so deceptive and lie and misrepresent what we're saying and what we're doing. And there you are talking to her, but at least she admits Congressman Ahmadi, because her own minions put up 245 timestamps in Congress on September 9th and said, no, he must have flown from Huachuca. No, he's there at 11 a.m., which is 8 a.m. that time. So, but they're still back on the head of TPUSA security. And so we've been talking to them. They go, ooh, you're talking to them. Yeah, we're investigating. They're going to go ahead and just get, you know, the home ring footage, even though they get, and all the stuff and witnesses and them at the airport and the timestamps and all of it. And then they're going to, because of the money they got to spend, just one more lawsuit for Candace. Because, I mean, you're saying people are murdering folks. And then you're saying you're not saying that. But you are, and your surrogates are saying it. And then and so you really caught her in this, and I wish she would have stopped. This is really sad. You got a bunch of clips. You got the floor, Harrison Smith, ahead of a special guest in here next hour. And I know Patrick Byrne's got huge breaking news. I double booked, but just go ahead, Harrison.
Yeah, you know, I appreciated Candace inviting me on the space. She's obviously a very big, you know, I know you don't like the word influencer, but, you know, she's a very big person in the space. See, I'm not really like emotional about it, but it does frustrate me to no end. The lack of logic, the inconsistency, the way stories change. It's just frustrating beyond belief. And I almost have this compulsion to like, I have to justify it all. I have to figure out what is actually being said, what I can sink my teeth into. And as I keep saying, and as we keep saying, we would love for this to be true. Can you imagine the field day that we would have if we had like bombshell evidence of a pre-planning meeting of the assassination of one of the most prominent leaders on the right wing, the biggest political assassination in 40 years? We would love if it was true. It ain't true. Like every incentive we have is to run with this story, is to tell this story, is to pretend like it's true. That's actually what we're incentivized to do because it would make a great story. But we're obliged because we're truth tellers and because we have to go with where the truth leads us to say, this isn't adding up. This doesn't make any sense. And what you're saying isn't true. And up until now, so again, it's not, I'm not emotional about it, but it's so convoluted. It's so confusing that it gives me heartburn. Because if they are accusing Erica Kirk and Brian Harpole of being at a pre-planning meeting for the assassination, that is a big claim. And that is the claim that's being made. Now, they'll go into semantics, say, no. We said Erica Kirk was at the hotel the day before with somebody who was at the meeting, but she wasn't seen at the actual meeting. It's like, okay, so is the claim that Erica Kirk just happened to be on the base for a different reason that wasn't at the meeting? No. Obviously, the insinuation, the blatant, obvious insinuation is Erica Kirk had foreknowledge of the assassination. She was involved in the planning of the murder of Charlie Kirk. That is a big accusation. That's like a very bombshell, hardcore accusation. Up until now, Candace Owens has not made that accusation. I know 2 weeks ago, Ben Shapiro was on stage with Megyn Kelly and said, you know, Candace Owens is accusing Erica Kirk of killing Charlie Kirk. And Megyn Kelly's like, what? She is? At that point, I would have said no. She hasn't made that. She's said she's suspicious of DPUSA. She says that everybody's around Charlie Kirk has betrayed him. But she never, you know, went so far as to actually, you know, charge Erica Kirk with being involved in any way ahead of the assassination. That had not been made before. So this is a major claim that she made. So people are reacting to it. Because if you're going to make a claim that severe, then you better have evidence to back it up. And if the only evidence you have to make this claim is the witness testimony of some guy, then looking into that guy, looking into whether that guy is trustworthy, is a perfectly valid course of investigation. Because that's all you have. All you have is his word. Well, how valuable is his word? How, you know, trustable is his word? And if it turns out that he's got accusations of being a lifelong con man and wife beater, maybe he's not the guy that you want to put all, you know, your eggs in his basket. You don't want to make this very strong, severe claim on the basis of his word. So where it gets convoluted is Candace comes out with this revelation, which she says in very, again, blatant ways, this is going to lead to, you know, forcing the U.S. military to having to admit that they were involved in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, there's no ambiguity about it. She is making the claim that this was a pre-planning meeting about the assassination. Erica Kirk and Brian Harpole were there. That is a big accusation. She's making that accusation on the basis of this guy. So then everybody goes, what the hell? You can't just make that accusation. Because I know everybody in Candace's camp is pretty firmly established. Like, they're running on the assumption that Erica Kirk is involved and TPUSA is involved and the whole thing is corrupt. And that may be true. That very well may be true. There may be aspects to that that are true. But you also have to take into account, you have to make allowance for the possibility that Erica Kirk is just a widow, that she didn't have anything to do with it, and she's doing the best she can. And even though you don't like the way she does it, that is a possibility, right? There is some amount of probability that at the end of all of this, Erica Kirk is just an innocent victim whose husband was murdered. And you have to make allowance for that and go, if that is still a possibility, then we really got to be careful about what we accuse her of, because that's really not a good thing to do. Accuse a grieving widow of murdering her husband on the basis of a vaguely remembered 3-month-old recollection from a guy who is untrustworthy. Okay, so Candace says well, you know, this wasn't a big deal. I didn't want to make this a big deal. Okay, that's a lie. And I'll show you the clip where she makes this a very, very big deal right out of the gate. But she says, I didn't think this was that big of a deal. I thought maybe some, maybe you didn't. But then the reaction, oh, man, then the reaction, everybody got so mad. And it's like, whoa, why is everybody so mad about this? Whoa, maybe there is something to this. And it's like, no, everybody had a big reaction to this because this accusation is different than any other accusation she's ever made. I mean, she's made accusations that, oh, he's lying about this text message. He's lying about this thing in particular. Okay, well, you can debate that. You can argue that. But to make the accusation that Erica Kirk had foreknowledge of the assassination is a big claim. And it's different than any claim she's made before. So it had a different reaction. And the investigation into the witness is perfectly valid. Now, throughout all of this, I knew going into the space, I'm not going to change any minds. I know what the deal is. I know I'm... And no offense to the people there, because I do like some of the people that were in the space. I like some of the people that, you know, we're interacting with. This is a cult. I'm sorry. I'm going into the cult. I know I'm not going to convince people that I'm right and the dear cult leader is wrong. So that was never my intention. But I did want to explain why this reaction is coming, why people are treating this case with the Fort Wachaca different than anything else, because the accusation is so much more than anything else. And many of the other accusations made that coincide with the main accusation have already been proven to be false. For example, Mark Amadai, the representative who they claimed was there because she just was, I guess, going through a deck of cards with pictures of congressmen saying, stop when you see the guy you saw. She was just going through pictures. Was it him? No. Was it him? No. Was
and
it
remember,
no?
She sends Erica's old boyfriend later. And she saw him, too.
And now he was there, too. So that's my question is, OK, if Mark Amadai has an alibi, if he's proven not to be there, I guess we got to present more pictures. Like, let's find another congressman he can identify. Maybe that congressman won't have an alibi. And so he'll be presumed guilty. Right. Like, what is this?
This is beyond the Salem witch trials.
It's not a way you conduct an investigation. So if you actually care about getting to the bottom of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you would not go down this route. You would not make these mistakes.
But it's a black hole purposely to debate absolute crap. She could just pick schizophrenic emails she gets, says she had a dream, and then just do this. You have Erica Kirk with the alibi. Both days, they've got it all. You've got the head of security flying out at 145. He's got more stuff he's going to bring out. And you watch when he does that, they're not going to even look at it. Well, and then they change it all to the 8th thing. It was never about the 9th. She goes, I'm not wanting alibis. I never asked for alibis. The hell you didn't? And then when people present them, you go, oh, why are you covering up? Why are you coordinating? Like, why is Alex talking to TPUSA? Because I'm calling him up before I ever, 2 weeks ago, said, Candace, you need to, you know, this guy's a liar. We already knew the record of the guy, got more. We already knew about, you know, the alibis. And I was, like, trying to warn her. And they go, oh, you're the FBI has asked you to do this. No, Kash Patel is covering up the accomplices. Okay, and you have the guy down there saying, I shot him as a diversion so Tyler Robinson can get away. They don't want to look at that. That's the hardcore real stuff. So go to the, we're running out of time here. Go to the clip of you bringing this up to her.
Yeah, well, let's go first to clip number clip B here, because this is the Mark Amadai thing. This is like, okay, this was an aspect. They accused this guy of being involved in the murder. Here he has an alibi. This is the way, you know, the reaction
he's
is.
He's on C-SPAN.
To the actual video footage disproving her claim. Let's watch.
Mark Amadai did, I do want to say, as an update, I scrubbed through looking for roll calls, and then somebody indicated to me that they see him in his chair. He missed the roll call for some reason, but early on in the video, I agree, it does look like Mark Amadai. So that might be, it could be him, and we're looking for somebody else who looks like Mark Amadai. And I also think his height is wrong on Google. I don't think he looks like he's 5'9". So Mark Amadai might be completely, like, off the hook on that.
Okay. All right. So
let's stop there. He's all over the videos. He's speaking. He's there at 11 a.m. It's him. Okay. But let's stop right there. She's the Grand Inquisitor. She makes the accusation. She's like, yeah, maybe I'll let you off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the arrogance here.
No apology, no reevaluation of the evidence, no, like, okay, well, that was wrong. Maybe these other ones.
By the way, you were too nice about snow. Well, by the way, he picked the name snow, snow job. Look at the definition. What does a snow job mean? Pull it up on screen, people. Literally what they're doing. This guy has dozens of restraining orders, 5 different women, 3 wives, his adult children, how he tortured them, beat them up. Fractured women's skulls. He's in police reports admitting that he bashed women's skulls in. Okay, he's a 250-pound Green Beret. He was a Green Beret for a year in engineering, not in medics. He didn't fall off a cliff. He hurt his back when he was drunk. It's all in the reports.
Yeah.
It's this guy is a... He had a thing for veterans that had are wounded to get to go to the Caribbean and would get money and take trips down there for himself to Cancun. I mean, the guy is a scumbag. He said he was medically retired. That's not true. Stolen valor. We have his military report. A deception or concealment of one's real motive in an attempt to flatter or persuade.
Wow.
All right.
That's very interesting. Well, no, but you're exactly right. And what people will say in response to that is, well, just because a guy has a checkered past doesn't disprove this accusation here. Just because he's lied before doesn't mean he's lying about this. But if you had any other evidence, you would present that. If all you have is this guy, if all you have is his evidence, then all you're banking on is his trustworthiness. So, of course, that's what's going to be questioned. It's the same thing that they do in court in courtrooms. If a witness gets up, you try to impeach the witnesses.
Well, I mean, under this system, we get millions of emails a month. The schizophrenics send us stuff. I could literally bring any schizophrenic on I wanted and just have some huge say, well, you know, it's not me. They're saying it.
If I was running an intelligence agency right now, do you have any idea how many emails I'd be sending to Candace Owens? I mean, I'd be dropping fishhook after fishhook just seeing what she would bite on. Because, yeah, that's she says, OK, I go and check my email. They say this is happening. I put the guy on and lend him my credibility.
Meanwhile, Cash Patel is covering up everything.
Right.
The pipe bombing, Butler, Kirk. Epstein, and we're all, but again, they're talking about is you, it's a unified thing with all her minions. You don't want an investigation. You agree with the FBI. No, I don't. I don't agree with that con man on the screen. And we gave her the benefit of the doubt 2 weeks ago to pull out of this, and she doubled down. Go to your next clip.
Yeah, let's go to.
I like it when you get her on the point of, oh, no, I never said, no one's saying that this was a kill meeting. Well, what is it?
Yeah, that, again, the
and we have the compilations of her. He was the king. They wanted to take him out. They stand to gain.
Well, even in the space yesterday, you know, because I kept saying, like, what is the claim here? Because if the claim is this was an assassination meeting, then you have to take that into account with people's reaction and all of that. But and even in the space yesterday, they said, well, we know we think that this was happening behind Charlie's back, that this was a secret meeting that he wasn't privy to because it was all part of this betrayal of Charlie Kirk that culminated in his assassination. So it was an assassination.
Well, meeting. I'll give you a little secret.
You won't say it.
TPUSA doesn't want to engage the Tar Baby. They got what Charlie really had to say about old Candace.
Right.
And I'm telling them, just drop the bombs.
Yeah.
And they'll go, that's a threat. No, I mean, well, figuratively.
No.
Let's go to the next club.
I do, but I do wish TPUSA would sort of fight back against this.
No, they're getting ready to do it.
But then again, if I was them, I would probably ignore her too. So I don't actually exactly blame it. Let's go to clip C here. This is the fact that, as you're saying, you provide an alibi, that's suspicious. You don't provide an alibi, you're guilty. But if you provide an alibi, whoa, why are you providing an alibi? That's kind of weird. Let's go to clip C.
Brian Harpole was acting funny. He's been acting weird. He's been telling verifiable lies. And he cared enough to present an alibi, meaning he didn't want people to think he was there, right? So if you have to give someone an alibi, it's because you don't want people to think that you're there. An alibi is not needed if there's nothing to hide. So that's why it matters. I think that's why it matters. And the reaction, this reaction, rather than being forthcoming, is why it suddenly feels like, okay, this is important because no one's acting normal. No one's just like, oh, yeah, cool, he was there. Like, it also is, as we have now learned, it's an intel base.
It's an intel base on the border. What do you think's there? So she also tried to distract with Undersecretary of Defense flying in, planned since July, a border tour. Now it's the 8th, not the 9th. So here's the thing. What are the lies Brian Harpole told? And then, you know, talking to them, they're like, what's the one thing he's got? 145 flying out the airport, gets to the airport about noon. You know, he's got his family. He flew with a big security team. That's where they're mainly based in Dallas. And they're like, okay, I guess we'll go get our Ring cameras and get our, all right. And then they're like, but we don't know we should do that. She'll say that's not real. Like when the congressman's on C-SPAN, they go, that's not real. And everybody goes to the live stream and goes, no, it is real. I mean, you know, it's like, this is crazy. Provide an alibi that you're in Dallas. And again, if he gets to the airport at noon, that's, 10 o'clock there. But I guess he flew back. And, you know, it's wild.
No, it just makes
And so we're gonna prove the Harpole thing. Oh, you want the 8th on Erica Kirk? They're going to release that for you. And it's just going to be, and you watch, they're going to keep changing the subject.
Yeah, well, that is what they do. And so, again, that clip had two things, right? It had the fact that, well, he presented an alibi. That's sort of evidence that he's guilty right there. Why would you present an alibi if you didn't care if you were there? So, you know, there's that, which is absurd in the first place. But then she says, you know, the reason this is such a big story, the reason why I'm sticking on Fort Wachaca is because of the reaction. The reaction has made it a big deal. I didn't want to make it a big deal, but then everybody reacted. But then we can go to...
Well, you claim you have smoking gun with all these people there at a kill meeting. Then you say you're not. Then people investigate and show the proof it's not true and show your sources a legendary scumbag. And then, no, it's a big deal because it's a big claim, lady.
Exactly, exactly. And she made this claim big. Let's go to clip G here. It's a short one, but this is how she started the episode when she first started talking about Fort Wachaca.
I just cannot see how this would lead to anything other than a full confession from the government about the military's involvement in his assassination, but I'm just going to deliver the facts and see where they land. Welcome back to Candace.
Okay, so she starts off the coverage of this by saying this is going to lead to a full confession of the military being involved in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But now it's not about the assassination, and it was no big deal. It was only people's reaction.
What about the clip of her? There's a bunch of them. Where she's like, they hit him. They don't know where he's buried. Oh, it's a Catholic burial. Why are they hiding where he's buried?
Yeah, that one.
And then Piers Morgan goes, well, she had an issue with them hiding where he's buried. No, that's not me. That's somebody else.
That's what it's all of this doublespeak. It's all of this, oh, we're going to accuse her of having foreknowledge, but I never said it was about the assassination. It's like, well, if it's not about the assassination, then why are we talking about it?
Let's remember, Erica Kirk flies to meet with her, presents her a bunch of the evidence, because they were calling me saying, well, you're the expert on conspiracies. What? How do we convince her? And I said, get your stuff. Show her compilations of saying they killed him. You killed him. And then she's saying not. They did that. And I didn't get through all the meeting with them, but you know the details. I talked a little bit about them. But and then 3 days later, she has Lunatic on to double down, and now Erica's there.
And she,
that's her answer. Oh, I'll show you, Erica. I'll show you. My star witness says you were there the night before now.
And she had talked to that guy before the meeting with Erica, so she could have brought it up at the meeting with Erica, but she didn't. Let's go to clip. Let's go to clip D here, because this is me asking why the story matters and her basically saying it's the reaction that makes it, you know, important. Let's watch.
Thanks for having me. I guess my whole thing is, why does this meeting even matter? Like, what is the actual claim that's being made here? That's been my confusion the whole point, the whole time, is like, okay, let's say that there's absolute proof, you know, photographic evidence that everything that Snow says is true. Like, who cares? I mean, what does that prove? What is the actual accusation? Who do you think was conspiring with who to do what?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think, it, you know, yeah, obviously Kirk, the name of the episode murdered. Was, you know, the day before Charlie Kirk was murdered. The insinuation is that this was a assassination planning meeting,
yeah.
Which I don't even see any evidence of that. And then people I'm arguing with online are saying, no, this has nothing to do with the assassination.
Yeah.
So, I guess, you know, if the space is why this matters, why does Fort Wachaca even matter? Like, what is the claim being made? I still don't even understand that.
So it matters because why would Brian Harpole be on Fort Wachaca at all? Right. It matters because he's giving an alibi, which means he doesn't want to be associated. Like, it could have easily not mattered, kind of, to speak to your credit. He could have been like, yeah, I was at Fort Wachaca with my brother. And my brother's in the military. I was dropping off some food.
So she's saying he's at Fort Wachaca. We had your mic open. I wanted you to retweet or send it where you're the guy, like a month before he gets killed, goes to the Ron Paul 90th birthday, talk to one of his donors saying, yeah, he was concerned Israel would kill him. So we're like, yeah, that could be legitimate. Let's look at it. You're the guy that literally put it on the map before. Now they're calling you a Mossad agent. Mr. I love Israel Harrison Smith.
Right, I know. Well, these people clearly don't actually follow you or I or ever watch anything that we do. They don't know how to do conspiracy theories. You have to do the research first. You have to actually look into something before you make the claim, which I think is sort of the ground floor of this whole frustration. Yes, I am the one that said Charlie Kirk was afraid Israel was going to kill him. I reiterated again in an interview with Jake Shields about 2 weeks before Charlie was killed. And, you know, since then, you know, the FBI I've actually made contact with somebody from this morning. Somebody reached out to me and wanted to know who the source was. And so I helped connect them. So everybody going, why, you know, if you really heard this, which of course I did, how would I have tweeted that out a month before the assassination? Like, how would I have had that?
Well, that's because you were for Mossad.
No,
because you want to say they did it. But again, this is the mental illness. And so I'm just in a position of, I went and investigated it. Well, this guy was a total kook. Now these people have alibis. You say they don't. But she admits the congressman because he's on C-SPAN at 11 a.m.
Right.
Which is 8 a.m. that time.
Yeah, I mean, my...
So her God, the God Emperor of Truth, Mitch Snow, has been proven wrong. And I love her people. They're online saying, the Mitch story is holding. We need to hold it. We need to... And watching them all double down on this.
It's you know, it's your downfall. He got you. The Democrats couldn't do it. The deep state couldn't do it. Big tech couldn't even slow you down. But Mitch Snow, the hero whistleblower, Mitch Snow, finally revealed, you know, InfoWars. It's all absurd. It's all ridiculous. It's all nonsense. And people don't pay attention to anything. And then they get a little bit of information. They run with it. It's completely wrong. But they, you know, double down.
And they say
it.
That we're covering up somebody being involved. No, we're the ones that first broke with the White House sources confirmed a month later, mainstream news, that Patel is covering up. And so what do you think really happened here? I think he had help, bare minimum.
I think he had help, bare minimum. I think that if it was some sort of international operation, then we'll never have evidence of that because I think our authorities will cover it up for it. So I've never been expecting to find some bombshell evidence. And the more and more information that comes out, the more and more, honestly, it kind of looks like Tyler did it. I mean, as you pointed out, he's smiling. I mean, he has a defense team that's actually working for him.
Trans flag time.
The trans flag thing. I mean, his defense team is trying to actually, like, discredit the entire prosecutor team. They've asked for the entire prosecutor team to be recused because one of the prosecutors had a family member that was a witness to the event. So, like, his defense is pulling out all the stops. They are trying to do whatever they can to win for their client. Why would they not use any of this information if it was useful to them? They don't seem like they're trying to, you know, just, like, convict him, yeah. You know, really quickly.
Well, here's the deal. Candace is getting sued by the Macron. She thinks she has nothing to lose. She's married to this British lord. They're scraping all the internet data, running a big operation. They got a bunch of bots. They got a bunch of people brainwashed. And I am going to minimize coverage of her to 1 hour a week maximum going forward because it is a tar baby. And I'm going to follow my own advice. I just got blown away when I thought, oh, she's being set up by Mitch Snow. Let me warn her. And they just came after me. I was like, whoa. And so this is just very sad.
I think in 2 months, nobody is going to talk about Fort Wichaka or Mitch Snow ever again. I don't think this is.
But the question is, will they listen to her next load of crap?
And probably so, yeah. And they'll drop Mitch Snow and pretend that it never happened and say, oh, we were just looking into it. It didn't really matter, even though, you know, they'll curse you out and call you a shill if you say the same thing they're saying, which is Mitch Snow is not credible and what he witnessed.
Yeah, now they say it doesn't matter if Mitch is credible.
So why did they hate us when we said it in the first place? It doesn't make any sense. It's a cold. I'm sorry. It's a cold. I'm sorry. You got to think for yourself, folks.
We got a special guest who's been on the front lines of the war in Ukraine and more. An amazing journalist coming in. But you do 5 more minutes before she comes in.
Yes, sir.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexshowstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid, Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, 2 great flavors now available at DallasTwinStore.com. High-quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.